Welcome to the Maranatha Baptist Church podcast. It is our prayer that this class from our Equip ministry will be a blessing to you and will grow your love for Jesus Christ. We would encourage you to use it only as a supplement to your regular intake of God's Word in your local church. If you need help connecting with a local church, please reach out to us on our website, mbcgrimes.org.
Some of you may have the last week's handout and some of you may not. So what did it say? What was the theme of last week's? Our work has changed because of whose work? Christ's work, right. We're a redeemed people, and our work changes. And we talked about a primary calling and secondary calling, did we not? And our primary calling as redeemed are to reflect Christ. And our secondary calling is to what? We all have the same primary calling in Christ as redeemed, and our secondary callings all may vary, but they're for the purpose of what? Supporting the primary calling. Okay. So this week we're studying about a new goal. Success is moving up in the world, making money, making a name for yourself and all that, right? That's what we've been studying about. Success is faithfulness. Faithfulness. What is faithfulness?
Being faithful.
That's a what do they call that? A circular definition or something like that? So who's faithful in your life?
Completing promises? Is that faithfulness?
Yeah, someone who promises, they keep those promises. So do you know anybody, who do you know that's been always been faithful to you?
The Lord.
The Lord, yeah. Yeah, he's faithful. And so we're going to be talking about that success is faithfulness, okay? Got four Christians here, I think, and they're listed here in your handout. You got Sam. Sam's stressed out at work. He's putting together a new bid, and a lot is riding on this bid, and for him to be successful in that, jobs are at stake, and it's gone beyond temporal thing because he's stressed out about spiritual things too. He's spending so much time on the contract that he's missing opportunities to share the gospel. He's focusing on, he's got this stress on the bid, and it says, and he's reminded, or we're reminded, it says, what profits a man to win a government, in his case, a government contract, yet lose his soul? And we'll come back to each one of these, hopefully, get there. Willa is wondering if she's wasting her life. So Willa's thinking, what I'm doing, is it of any value? She and her husband decided 5 years ago that she'd quit her job spend full time at home with the kids. And her stay at home moms keep reminding her or reassuring her that what she's doing is really quite valuable, even if the world disagrees. It goes contrary to the world. But none of them had the job she had. She had a great job. So is wiping noses really more valuable than negotiating peace in conflict zones? A peace negotiator. And so she's wondering about that. And then you got Felicia. She's deep into the woes of failure. She spent 30 years building up a business, a company that went belly up after 30 years. And her employees, her savings, her enthusiasm, her optimism is all gone. She's at kind of rock bottom. Says, was it for nothing? And then you've got Sean. Sean, he's glorying in his success. Unlike Felicia's company, his is going great gangbusters. And after years of hard work, it's finally paying off. And it's pumping out the cash. Things are great. Couldn't be any better. You talk about a four-hour work week. He scoffs. He says, how about a 40-minute work week? That's all he's got to do. He's got it made. And he's thinking, this is what's life all about, right? With a big question mark. And so we're going to look tonight at what the Bible has to say about these four individuals. You may have found yourself in a variation of these scenarios, but we're going to look at those. And so these Christians all need a more biblical goal for work. Instead of measuring success based on worldly productivity or value or results, they work with the goal of being counted as faithful. Faithful. So faithfulness is our topic today. We'll start looking at it. It says what faithfulness is, how working for faithfulness looks different than how most of us operate. We talk about faithfulness, but we tend not to operate that way many times. And finally, we're going to come back to some advice for these four confused friends that we've talked about. So we talked about last week when we became Christians, we got a new boss. And we're working for Jesus, and he's given us a new assignment to show off his glory in our work. Our work is a part of, what have we talked about? Our work is worship. Remember worship? And so that we can work as God intended it to be, that we can again become our work has again become worship like it was in Eden. So the big implication here is who you work for is much more important than what you do. So who are we working for? Our new boss is?
The Lord.
Pardon?
The Lord.
The Lord. And it's based upon what? His work. His redemption. And we're image bearers of his. The world will tell you otherwise. Life finds its meaning in success at work, or that work is just a necessary evil on the path to leisure. We talked about that. But we know that's not true. So no matter what we're doing, it's to glorify Jesus. We need to keep this one idea in mind. It'll change the way you think about your work and how you engage in your work. Glorifying Jesus is our primary motivation, regardless of its particulars, because it becomes an act of worship. And a job becomes a primary way that we serve and love the Lord. And when we get our eyes off that focus, it can bring on a lot of problems or just ineffective as reflecting Christ. So whatever you do, it's not as important as who you work for, because work is worship. So if your work is worship, how will your real boss, Jesus, evaluate your performance? Faithfulness is acting in obedience to show off God's goodness. It's not to show off our goodness, our works, but his goodness. So when we talk about faithful, what do you think about when you think about Old Faithful?
Geyser,
okay. This writer that read this lesson says, we think of faithful as boring and reliable, as in Old Faithful. boring and reliable. And it's the same thing. It was the same thing the last time. It's the same thing. It's going to be the same thing. And I don't know if we can set our watches by exactly, but it's going to happen. It could be a synonym for, O come all ye faithful. The Bible's take on faithfulness is far more profound and exciting than this. Jesus' parable of the talents, Matthew 25. Let's turn your Bibles over to Matthew 25. And this is really the crux of our lesson tonight. Matthew 25, verse 24. And I'd ask someone to read it, a volunteer. Matthew 25, verse 24 through 30. The parable of the talents. Volunteer? Rod.
24 through 30. And the one also who had received the one talent came up and said, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid and went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours. But his master answered and said to him, You wicked, lazy slave, you knew that I reaped where I did not sow and gathered where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have put my money in the bank, and on my arrival, I would have received with my money back with interest. Therefore, take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. Throw out the worthless slave into the outer darkness. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Okay. So, right prior to that, we've got two servants, and the first two were given talents, and they put them to work. And so when the master came and called them to account, they had basically, one had 5 talents, and he brought and had gained 5 talents, and the other one had 2, and he gained 2, and this one, he was different. But the first two, the response of the master was, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over little, and I will set you over much. Enter the joy of your master. So, but here we have the contrast with this third servant. And he was referred to as what?
Wicked and lazy.
Yeah. And he said, what did he say? What did this servant say? Rod just read it. What did he say?
He was afraid. Was that verse 25? Is that what he said?
Yeah.
Went away and hid it.
Okay, but before that, what in verse 24, I guess, what did he say?
Reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered.
And he says, you wicked and slothful servant. He says, you should have at least invested my money with the bankers and earned interest. And he was cast where? Where was he cast? Okay. So where, in this parable, what are we talking about? He's cast into hell? Yeah. And it says there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And so he gave it back. So does that seem extreme? The master didn't lose anything. What do you think of that?
Well, he also accused the master of being evil.
Oh.
And he was lazy.
And lazy, yeah.
He said that he knew he's a hard man. And that he reaped where he didn't sow, and gathered where you scattered no seed. So what's going on here is the gospel. God's faithfulness, the master's faithfulness. The first two took him at his word. What did he, in this parable, it says, verse 14 there says, for it will be like a man going on a journey who called the servants and entrusted them to his property. Was he coming back? The first two took him at his word and trusted his word that he was coming back, and they took and used the talents that he'd given them. But the third one, he didn't act like he thought he was coming back or that he was could be trusted. The third servant's actions, what is the key of what that said about his master. He said he tried to have things both ways. He'd be okay if the master returned, and he'd be okay if he didn't. And he was practicing risk mitigation. Doesn't that sound like a good term? Yeah. We're gonna mitigate risk. Is that an insurance company? Yeah. We're mitigating risk, right? right, Tanner? Yeah. We're mitigating risk. And he was hedging his bets. And so what that said about his master, it said that his master wasn't reliable to live up to his promises. He wasn't faithful. And not to promise to return, not to promise to reward his servants. Says this master was trustworthy and incredibly generous. The first two entered the joy of your master. And after all, the master's presence, the master represents God. But the third servant said, I knew you to be a hard man. What did Satan say to Eve in the garden? What did she say to Eve about God and what God had told Adam and Eve? What did he say to them?
I don't want you to have good stuff.
He's holding out on us. Mm-hmm. And did he really say this? I don't know. I don't think I can trust him. He's holding out on you. You can't trust him. Yeah. Well, that's what we're talking about here with this. It says his actions further lied about the excellence and faithfulness of the master. It's a hard lesson. It's a hard lesson. When we think about we trust, our trust and the confidence is in our Savior, but the living it says the first two, they gambled everything on the master's promises. They bet with their lives that he was good to his word and that risking everything on him was the best thing they could do for themselves. And they were right. It says, this is a parable about faith. Faith in the master. In the Sermon on the Mount, what does it say about two masters? It says, we can't have it both ways. We can't have it both ways. Living for myself and living just enough for God to slip into heaven. The servant's double-minded life showed he had no faith. We can't serve two masters. We should either serve one or the other. James tells us that even the demons believe in God and shudder. So what's the difference between demonic faith and saving faith? Saving faith doesn't simply believe the facts about God. It believes that God is good for us, like the first two servants, and his rewards are worth having. And saving faith believes in the goodness of his plan, so it steps eager into God's care, leaving everything behind. So when we really believe that God's rewards are worth the cost here on earth, our lives become living advertisements of how good and desirable he is. But when we say, I want to get into heaven, but I also want to hedge my bets because I don't really trust God's plan for me, then we can be living advertisements that he is not good and he's not trustworthy. I don't know, that parable really stands out. It says the first two were considered faithful because they acted in good faith. They were obedient. Song "Obedience Is." It's the very best way to show that you what?
Believe.
God delights in his goodness, and when we are faithful, we delight in his goodness as well. So the two servants who gained the talents, they put all their trust in him. They were trusting in him that he would provide whatever they risk. And so we ask ourselves, our trust, again, the focus is upon faith, faithfulness, success in faithfulness. Faithfulness versus results. Were their results based upon the faithfulness, or was their faithfulness based on the results? May not be a good comparison. Give me your answer.
Results are based on faithfulness.
Hmm?
I think it's probably both.
Well, let's talk about it. The principle here is that God evaluates our work based upon what? Faithfulness. So to what extent, to what extent has our obedience shown him to be good and trustworthy? If we're relying on him, we show that he is good and trustworthy. If we don't, we're saying, yeah, he can't be trusted. Our lives don't show that he is trustworthy. We need to trust in his faithfulness. Our stewardship of everything he's given us. We show him to be good and trustworthy, whether we're talking about our jobs, our families, our money, our church, our abilities. So it may seem straightforward, but it's actually quite contrary to how we live sometimes. So what we want to do tonight is contrast working for faithfulness on the one hand, working for faithfulness versus working for results. Faithfulness versus results. A review. So you have a work review. We're going to review your work for the last year. How much of that review, they're weighted, how much of that review is based upon results, and how much of that review is based on faithfulness, would you say, typically, in the today's work world?
90% results, maybe 100%.
On what?
Results.
Yeah, results. Results. It's contrary to the world standards. Now, there may be some, okay, yeah, you were faithful. You only missed 2 days this year, past year. You were faithful in being here, but yeah, we're looking at results. You were faithful, but Charlie over here, he missed 2 weeks sick, but he's come up with three times what you've put out. So anyway, so again, that contrast between faithfulness, God's standard. I moved over one extra page here. I got to back up. We had a case of Bill here. He was in charge of a. He works for a company that relies heavily on import-export bank that's funded by Congress. How timely! And Congress didn't refund the bank this year, in this example. And so Bill's company told him it was his job to build a coalition of companies and lawmakers to get the bank refunded. It's a real high-profile situation. Even the CEO of the company is breathing down Bill's neck to get something done. And so now, what's going to motivate Bill? And could be several things. Reputation. He's the kind of guy who's known to deliver, and he's not going to fail now. His boss. He wants to please his boss. And his boss is the CEO of one of America's largest companies. And he's looking on. Well, what about money? Well, presumably if he does well, there'll be a good bonus in this for him. So Bill has all sorts of ideas of how to use that money for the good of others. I can use this bonus and I can use it for other people's benefits. Public good. Bill believes that this is good for America and that his work will save jobs. Another motivation could be career. Something like this will make Bill's career move forward and allow him to raise a family and to continue serving his church. Now, while all of these things can be idolized and misused, they are all in themselves good motives. These are good motives. And you can be quite confident in Bill's case, they are good motives. But do you see that where they are all results-oriented? They're all about working hard to achieve something in this life. So there's two problems with results orientation versus faithfulness. One, we don't know what's truly valuable. What's truly valuable? Well, name something that's valuable. Name something that's really valuable to you. How much is gold now an ounce? Well, I have no idea. It's, how much is it? I don't know. Anyway, gold's valuable, right? What other things might be valuable?
Eggs.
Yeah. What's the price of eggs now?
Average price is $5.90.
For six. A dollar an egg. Yeah. Well, someone said about results is it's as though God came through a store and switched all the price tags out. You've heard of that, haven't you, where you have cans and all the labels are off? It's like, okay, what are we having tonight? I don't know until we open the can. But anyway, in this example, we can't rely on our eyes to tell how valuable something is to God. So when we're talking about a relationship and being faithful to God, working as unto him because of his work and redemption for us to reflect Christ, we don't necessarily know Do we know how God is using a situation to impact people's lives, to deal with hearts? So life may seem more valuable from the perspective of heaven, but the man who spends his life fighting successfully for faith in Christ as he struggles, well, let me back up here. It says, so which life will seem more valuable from the perspective of heaven? Two examples here. You got a man who spends his life fighting successfully for faith in Christ as he struggles through mental illness, never thriving, never holding down a job for long, never being able to invest in the lives of others, and just surviving to the end. But he's fighting successfully for faith in Christ. And then you have someone else, or the man who heads up a large philanthropic enterprise and fights for faith also successfully. They're both successfully in their faith. And the one he's fighting mental illness, never has a job that long, and he's just investing in other people's lives, but not monetarily. And another guy who's head of he helps a lot of people, and he's fights for faith also successfully to give glory to God as his organization prospers. So how can we possibly know which is more valuable to God? We don't know how he's using that. Or does it even matter? We don't have God's perspective. But we don't need that. All we need to do is to obey in whatever situation he puts us in. In other words, to be faithful. To be faithful. I don't have to know how God is valuing something. But trust in him. His faithfulness. And then we have also the second problem that's where we're working for results is if we measure success based on the value we're bound to be disappointed because the things of this world are passing away. And something that we value at this time may not be near a value later, even if it remains in our life. Isaiah 40, verse 6 says, all flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. Have you looked in the mirror lately?
Yes.
Yeah. We are fading away, aren't we? Physically.
And you are.
Now we're going to go on to it. Now we're going to talk about encouragement. He's getting red.
No, I was like, uh-oh, maybe I stepped over the line.
Anyway, this doctor says he's in the business of prolonging life, not saving it. Think about it. Prolonging life, not saving it. Not that prolonging life isn't hugely important, but it's not ultimate. And so a teacher who teaches kids who are going to forget most of what they've been taught, even if they learn right now, you remember most of us probably do. You remember what's 12 times 13? Now. Okay, what's 12 times 12? That's easy, right? Yeah, but 12 times 11 is a little harder, or 12 times 13. So you don't forget, and a builder who builds things, there's some days going to be knocked down, and quicker than they may have ever thought. So nothing lasts. So working for results, you can see it just doesn't make any sense as far as here on this earth. It's all going to, what the pastor you said, Carrie said, it's all going to burn. So working results doesn't make a lot of sense. Instead, work with your final performance evaluation in mind. We go back to that parable of the talents. And like those servants in Matthew 25, we have a final accounting coming our way. Hebrews 4:13 says, "And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eye of him to whom we must give account. On that day, the real value of what we've done will be laid bare before him." So how do we work in light of that coming day? We work to be faithful, not results oriented. Now, in being faithful will result in good things. And we read from Ephesians, he's created us for what? Good works. So whether God's made you a CEO or a mail clerk, you work as under the Lord so that one day you can tell him that you made the most of the opportunities he gave you. He has a plan, and faithful obedience shows off the goodness and glory of God. Again, the focus upon the goodness and glory of God as opposed to look at me.
I think it's important to point out that faithfulness will produce results. It might not be in this life.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people are disappointed. They're faithful, but they don't see the results. That's pretty crucial to know.
Right.
It's not here.
And we may see the results, but we don't see them right now. And we don't know how God's using a value. So anyway, so everything you work for will one day turn to dust. And so the amazing news is how you did it and why you did it that has the potential to bring glory to God forever and ever. So some practical examples. Let's go back to what, Sam and who? We'll just start with. What was Sam's problem?
Stressed out.
Okay, he's stressed out. He's pursuing results like the rest of the world. He's going to end up disobeying God's command not to worry. My ankle quit early tonight. How many of you worry? How many of you are worried right now? We got to be careful. It says because with Sam, getting that contract is really important and really outside of his control. He doesn't have control of that. What he has control of is how he's going to be faithful in trying to seek that and not compromising to an unethical means or whatever and leave it in God's hand. Says that's true in the temporal realm with the contract, that he's not in control of it. And it's also true in the spiritual realm. In evangelism, says when he considers his role through the lens of faithfulness, things look quite different. How he pursues that contract is potentially more important than whether or not he wins it and how he conducts himself. It says volumes about his trustworthiness in God. Whether he gives in to worry, whether he crosses ethical lines to get the deal done, or whether he relates to others on the contract as people to serve or people to use. Whether or not he wins, well, that's actually is much less significant from a spiritual perspective. And the important note is that by God's grace, there's a pretty tight correlation between working as unto the Lord and winning the contract. Because people who aren't stressed out, who relate to those around them with love and generosity, are honest and full of integrity. You get stressed out, worried, You're more likely to what? Oh, I got to have an edge. I know I shouldn't do this, but I'm going to do this, an ethical thing, or I'm going to hide this for now, or I'm going to do this to get the edge. And they're stressed out, and they're more likely to walk over people or not treat people properly. So, anyway, but if they're not stressed out, it says they're more likely to show love and generosity. And those things are often good for business as well. But he's been faithful. And Sam's acting that way to show off the work of God. The work that God's done, not necessarily in getting the contract or the best terms or whatever, but the work that God has done where? Man looks on the outside, but God looks on the what? The heart. How God's worked in Sam's heart. So it says, God has called him to the workplace as a worker, not just an evangelist. Opportunities to share the gospel. But Sam needs to be confident God has designed things such that being faithful in one calling as a worker will never force him to fail in another calling, being evangelistic. Rely on God's faithfulness. And remember, we talked about we all have multiple secondary callings that support our primary calling by Christ, to Christ, and through Christ, for Christ. So our job is to be faithful in all those secondary callings. We only have one master, the perfect Lord Jesus Christ. And so Willa's wondering. She's wondering, this stay-at-home thing, is it really more valuable than what I used to do? What I used to do really made a difference. Now I don't see such a difference. I don't see such a difference. And so she's got people cheering her on in her motherhood role, but then she's got other people saying, telling her to quit wasting the gifts that God's given her. You know, God give you this job, this opportunity, and you're wasting it with those kids. So what does faithfulness say to her? It says she's asking the wrong question. It says, Will is in no position to determine which is more valuable. Remember we talked about we really don't know what's valuable? We really don't know how God's working. And she's merely in a position to be faithful with the situation God's put her in. I'm in this situation, and I want to be in a different situation. If I could just be in a situation like Bob or Mary. If I could just be in that situation, I'd be much more effective. God's put you in the situation. He's put us in the situation we're in, and we need to be faithful in that situation. Maybe at some point in time, after the kids are more grown or whatever, Maybe she'll go back to that. But wherever we find ourselves, we need to be faithful in that position. God directs. So Jesus is in no way dependent upon Willa being a peace negotiator. Oh, look, Willa, you're wasting your time here. Look, ever since you left that job, look what's happened to the world. Is it because Willa's not there? Who's in control? Who's in control? Again, going back and showing faithfulness in God's goodness. So anyway, Felicia. She's failed. So what does the goal of faithfulness say to her? So it's a reminder that as a Christian, her ultimate goal was never the success of that business, which wasn't destined to last forever anyway. It's all going to pass away. Kodak. Where's Kodak? Kodak, that come to mind. Is there a Kodak company? Mm-hmm. Is there? What are they? What are? What are they involved in? Film? They have film? Do they?
Probably.
Used to.
It's kind of making a retro comeback.
Yeah, yeah. But it's a retro comeback, right? Give me a business that's not here anymore.
Copiers. Toys R Us.
Huh? What?
Toys R Us.
Oh, yeah. See, what's the wedding gown? Is there a wedding gown store or something? What's that?
Joanne's just went out of business.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Oh, yeah, yeah. Ethan, did you score a real good deal on a bunch of fabric for you to work with?
Yeah.
No, I'm talking about Ethan.
Did I score a bunch of it? Yeah. I'm a huge fabric guy. I made all of Sarah's clothes. Actually, I do quilt.
Do you?
Well, I did once.
Okay. Well, anyway, everything's passing away. And
what? Then I get
the
results on the quilt.
Well, anyway, Willa's ultimate goal should have been to obey Christ in the opportunities He gave her. Where God has placed you, be faithful. Be faithful. And the opportunities He gives you, it's possible that her business failure is in part a result of her being faithless. We don't know. But it could have been. But there's a difference between, we're foolish if we fail in this world's eyes and shrug it off with a second thought as if we're confident we haven't failed in God's eyes. In other words, if failure is always a good opportunity to examine. You know, was I faithful? Was I using the opportunities that God had given me? And it may be a situation for repentance. But it could be that it just, the economy was wrong. It was just some mistakes made as opposed to a failure, a sinful failure, a sin or something. I don't know. But anyway, faithfulness can still proclaim the glory of God. But we need to, it's all going to pass. And then successful Sean. Okay, he's kind of like the exception. So he doesn't need to work another day in his life. Does he? And based upon our studies so far, he may not have to work, but he's going to be doing something. He's going to be working at something. It may be idleness. And what idleness is an idol. It says, is sitting on your duff being faithful to your real boss? Is laziness ever extolled in the scripture? And there's something in Proverbs about laziness. It's a good thing? No. But now perhaps this worldly success means he can shift where he spends his time. What God's given him, the circumstances, the opportunities. Remember the rich, we talked about the rich young ruler, but what about the rich man who tore down his barns and built up the new barns? Yeah. So Christ's demand for faithfulness is just the same now as it was when Sean was hungrily building his business. In Ephesians 5, it says, 5 verses 15 through 16 says, look carefully then how you walk. Look carefully how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of time because the days are evil. We don't want to be accountable for time. The time that God blesses us with. So, I can see we're just getting through lesson four. So becoming faithful, these are some challenges here. It says, in a world that's obsessed by results, it's really hard to keep our eyes on faithfulness. So how do we do it? And there's, and these are all listed there at the bottom of your third page there. Becoming deliberately faithful. It says, in your daily prayer time each morning, pray through what you anticipate doing that day. What you anticipate doing. And don't just pray for results. How many times are we praying for results versus faithfulness? It says, pray for faithfulness. Think about what faithfulness look like in each activity that you're planning on that day. Where are you at risk of failing Jesus in your day? Pray with an eye towards faithfulness. Talk about faithfulness. Pastors challenge us many times. We get together, we talk about a lot of things. How's things between you and the Lord? Are you struggling? How can I pray for you? How can I be an encouragement to you? It says here when you get together, talk a lot about maybe how things are going at work, but just make those conversations more about your faithfulness and less about what you're accomplishing. How am I being faithful to the Lord? How am I using the opportunities He's given me, as opposed to just the results of what I'm in my work? And what you're accomplishing, more about your faithfulness than what you're accomplishing or hoping to accomplish in the world's eyes. Accountability's in there. Talking about faithfulness, about how the Lord's working in our lives. And here's the, now we're back to this review thing. It challenges you with an annual faithfulness review. It's important to see each area or each arena of your life as different assignments from Jesus, opportunities that we're presented with. So how are you being faithful across those different assignments? How is it as a parent or a neighbor or as an employee or maybe a small group? How about a growth group leader? How about however you're serving even here at church? How am I doing that there in that faithfulness department? Says, write out your job description for each of those assignments. It's a good guess that Jesus' job description for you might vary quite a bit from the job description your earthly boss would have for you. Because that secondary calling job description is probably based upon what? Results. Well, God wants us to be faithful. And the good results will come from faithfulness. But results don't necessarily guarantee that we've been faithful. Get what kind of results? From God's perspective. So evaluate how you're doing against that job description. Repenting for sin that you see and praising God where you see faithfulness. And then consider where you might press forward in fruitfulness because of faithfulness. It might be that this is a good half day or even a multi-day retreat. Maybe by yourself, maybe you invite some fellow believers, friends. So the conclusion is, we need to remember that we're in service to the King, our Master. He has infinite wisdom in how he deploys us, the opportunities he gives us, where he's put us. to decide which of our talents and abilities he decides to use and how. So it's who we work for, not what we do. Many times we want to be in control, and so we might be upset or displeased when God's put me in this position, and I don't even know what he's doing. He hadn't told me. I'm frustrated with it. And we need to rely on him, that he knows what's going on, and we can trust him. We can trust him, just like the two servants who trusted in their master. So who are we to accept grace from his hand and then kick the dirt when we hear what he's given us? What's your assignment? It's kind of like, go back to that parable. Anyway. So we need to rely on what God's doing and remember that he has a brilliant strategy that's unfolding, and it won't make sense to us, but someday we'll see. If our hearts are full of faith and love toward our King, we won't reject his assignments. By faith, we'll trust him, serving with joy because we serve the King of Kings. So the question is, it's who you serve that matters. A song came to mind, I am happy in the service of my employer. I'm happy in the... Huh? What?
Oh, I play it every night when I go. Say it. It's great.
I'm happy in the service of the King. You recall all those lyrics? I'm happy in the service of the King. Oh, so happy. Oh, so happy. Can I remember the last time I was happy in the service? I have peace and joy that nothing else can bring. Nothing. That's quite a statement. It says, in the service of the King, every what I will bring. Pardon?
Talent.
Talent. Makes me go back to that parable of the talents. Every talent I will bring, I will yield to him. I will trust in him. I will show his trustworthiness by the people I interact with and who I'm working for whose glory I'm working for, not mine. Trusting in his goodness and what he knows and the fact that everything else in this world is falling away. We're out of time, but I really wanted to get into the next week's lesson. Lesson 5 really kind of goes with this one, because we were talking today about the success is faithfulness, not results, but faithfulness. And next week's is faithfulness changes why we work. Motivation. What's our motives? And so that's where we'll be going in next week. And we'll see, maybe we've got to double up here in some weeks, and or we're going to get to the end and we're only going to be, oh man, we didn't get to 10, 11, 12. We didn't get to 7, 8, 9, 10, or 11 or 12. Anyway. Anything to add? God is good. He is faithful. Don't believe what Satan's telling us. We know he's faithful. He's redeemed us. And we need to be in the service of the King.
Thanks for listening. For more resources, visit our website, mbcgrimes.org. May the word of Christ dwell in you richly, and to God be the glory.